this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Of course, nowadays, news travels at lightning speed, so maybe you've heard this already, but if not, it's certainly fitting to share with you, given the special edition of tonight's show, a story from Bulgaria. Bulgaria, right over there next to Romania, where you find Transylvania. Did you hear that some vampire graves have been uncovered? That's right. Real vampire graves. Skeletons found, pinned down through their chests with iron rods. A practice once believed to keep the dead from returning to feast on the blood of the living. According to the Sofia news agency, Bulgarian tour operators are reporting a spike in these vampire vacations already because of this discovery. Archaeologists believe that one of the skeletons belongs to a pirate called Krivich Crooked. The Telegraph reports that historians are working right now to put this skeleton on display in the National Museum there. And one picture I saw not only shows the skeletons pinned down to the ground with these stakes, but also the skeleton of a woman, and she has a large brick-like object shoved in her mouth, wedging her jaws open to make sure that if she does return from the dead, she cannot bite anyone with those vampiric teeth. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, my producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. I take it you've enjoyed your week plus back from Transylvania.
Let me tell you, Forrest, I'm going to get very intimate with you for a moment here.
Okay. That's different.
We're right smack dab in the middle of 2012, and I'm just worn out. I mean, this year has exceeded my expectations. I feel like a guy who got back from the paranormal war. I'm having flashbacks and things. I've traveled so much around the world over the past months, I wake up at night, and I can't remember for a second what city I'm in.
I go to brush my teeth and at my house, and I'll drink some of the water and be like, oh, crap. And I panic because I think I'm going to have diarrhea for days now. And then I remember, oh,
I'm home.
Yeah, my stomach is used to this bacteria. I mean, it's amazing because for the longest time, if you tried to contact me, you would get the message saying, I'm out of the country, leave me alone. Now I'm back, and I'm not trying to pretend, you know, I'm Mr. Popular here, but the reality is everybody wants to catch up all at once, and it is just wearing me out. So I want to apologize to all of my friends here because I've kind of shut down. It's too much. I just can't. I think I'm possessed by something, Forrest.
Well, you just need your downtime.
I can't meet all these requests. I mean, people get angry because I don't return a call or an email. It's like like you said, I need downtime. I'm rebooting the system here, so just be patient with me. You understand that, Forrest.
I understand that, and of course, you know, you're going to get all, you're going to have this downtime, but then, of course, the Mayan calendar, December was it 22nd, 21st?
21st. At 11:11 Universal Time, which will be 6:11 a.m. East Coast Time, is when the big Mayan alignment happens there. So,
or 3:11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be a huge night. And so, right smack dab in the middle of the year 2012, I'm one of those guys who's always surfing the crest of the wave, you know, and it's this year has just been an awesome year, but it's also a little frustrating because I can't talk about a lot of the stuff right. that I did for this TV show until that airs.
Okay, well, this is looking a little into the future. December 22nd hits.
Yeah.
What do you do after that? What...
Oh, I wrote in my book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan,
right.
that at that moment, when the alignment occurs, 6:11 a.m. East Coast time on December 21st, 2012, I think the most you are going to experience will be a slight tingle in your forehead, right between your eyes,
third eye.
Or the third eye, because the third eye is going to start opening a little bit. But that's it. I've never seen evidence for any disasters. People are going to start having a more open-minded approach to life, and I think we already see that happening.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. That's what I think is going to happen. Maybe Investigator Shelley Wright has a different opinion, and the only reason we keep her around is just so she can give us the feminine point of view here on things, because we know that there's no other reason to keep Shelley Wright around, is there?
That mud wrestling, we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Once we move the show outside... Mud wrestling, that's a whole different ballgame. Thank you for... Yeah, that's why we keep her around. Investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. Look at how long my hair is, Shelley. You ever seen my hair this long?
No. Look how long my hair is.
You have this big, long, creepy...
Creepy?
Yeah.
That's not creepy.
Yeah, you look like, again, the redhead whose head rolls off when you remove the scarf from her neck in the old ghost story. That's what I think when I think of Shelley Wright.
You just watch the wrong movies and read the wrong books.
But no, look, I've let myself go.
Yeah, he has hair now.
Long. I'm gaining some weight. I decided I'm on the edge. I'm going to taste it all. I don't know what's gotten into me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been crazy at the shop. It's been crazy in my personal life. It's been great. I've enjoyed being back, but I really do miss Romania. It's fun.
You know, it's funny because people keep sending messages saying, I can't stop thinking about the trip today.
Yeah, I've had dreams. I wake up, I've dreamed that I'm there.
Well, I hope that if you're listening tonight, you did not miss last week's show. If you did, you can still appreciate tonight's show. But tonight is part two of a special series. Because if you've been living in a cave somewhere, you might not know that we went to Transylvania. We took a group of people. You and I were there. Some of our closest colleagues and associates were there. And we went to Transylvania and investigated the spookiest places, the places associated with the real Dracula.
Yeah.
And last week on the program, we talked about the nitty-gritty details about just going to Europe and having that European experience. And we took the show right up to the point where we were about to actually walk up the steps to go to Polinari, the real Dracula's castle. So tonight, if you're just tuning in, you are going to hear part two. And I'm hoping that this will just be a two-part series. But you know how it goes. We start talking here, it could end up being a three-part series. I don't know. We will have a dark 30 hour, as usual. I have a stack of bizarro stuff that we have to get into. So for 2 hours, we're going to continue talking about the trip to Transylvania. But don't you find, Shelley, there, like you were saying, there's something surreal about going to that land. And it's haunting.
It is.
It haunts your mind.
It does.
You in particular, though, and we're going to get into this tonight, you in particular were attacked by something there.
Twice.
And in fact, we have got some actual audio clips we're going to play later on in the show from one of these times when something came into your bedroom.
Yes.
You were partnered up with Patricia Dement.
Yes.
We call her affectionately Demented Patty.
Yes.
And it was a crazy night period. You know, we'll get into that a little bit as well. But then you came face to face with something.
Yes.
And Patty was audio recording the whole thing.
Yes.
And so we've got some clips that we're going to play here on the radio for the first time. These have never been released before.
Nope.
We're going to release them tonight. So whatever your plans are tonight, if you're listening to this show, cancel them. Just sit here and listen to this. It's very interesting. Because how many of you are going to make it to Transylvania? Next year, Dave Schrader is going to take another group back. Dave and I partnered up to do this year. Next year, however, I can't basically tell you what my schedule is going to be because I have some contracts for some TV stuff. But Dave has partnered up next year with Jeff Belanger, another great friend of ours. He does 30-odd minutes and all that. And they're going to take another group back. Who knows what will happen next year? All I know is what happened this year. And we're going to dig into it. But let me remind you now, if you are listening and you have access to the Internet, go to speakingofstrange.com. There you will find a live chat during the show, more links to the weird news and topics discussed, links to things like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, hauntedasheville.com. Beautiful weather, perfect time of year to check that out. So when we come back, we're going to dig into this trip. And last week, all the bumper music was Dracula-oriented. This week, for the first time ever, I'm going to repeat the same bumper music. But this time, Shelley, I want you to see if you can tell me what the source of the music is. If you fail, you must buy me a steak dinner.
Oh, well, that's better than mud wrestling with you.
I just came up with that concept.
That's
I
your
love it.
House or something.
It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
right, Shelley. Challenge number one. Where is this music from? Your mic is not on. Say it again.
The Dracula with Gary Oldman? That's one?
What was it called?
Dracula? Oh, hell, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, come on.
It wasn't my favorite one. You know what my favorite one was.
Whenever she does it so far, she's just going to be like, Dracula?
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 That's Dracula.
That's Dracula. Can you tell me who directed this version of Dracula?
Probably not.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Here's your hint.
Okay.
His daughter makes a champagne you like.
Ooh, Francis Ford Coppola?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, this is Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm just softballing you that one.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, because...
Because if tonight, you don't, I might just bite you.
But you know, the thing is, this is the same bumper lineup we did last week. So you've had ample opportunity to learn what the music is.
I didn't really pay attention.
Exactly. So tonight, every bumper... I want the audience to play along with you, and they're going to be sitting there like, oh, I can't believe that the Strigoi here didn't get this.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. So you're good so far.
Yes.
Well, and, you know, I was mentioning December 21st. And by the way, last week when the show aired, you know what? It was my grandmother's birthday. Yeah.
Yay!
And I think she's 35 now.
Again?
Yeah, once again.
Once again.
I believe she's 35.
Yay, Granny.
So, Nanny, happy birthday. We love you. And I'm thinking maybe you're a vampire. Because how can you be 35 every year? That doesn't make any sense. Shelley, you said that your brother's birthday is December 21st.
Yes.
And
we're going to have a great big party for
you. Do you think that your brother maybe is going to bring about doom to the world?
You think he's going to bring about the end of the world?
Maybe he's the one. Does he have like a little 666 on his scalp somewhere?
Yeah, I haven't really looked.
Hmm. Okay. So anyway, I guess we better get cranking because it's just too easy to just sit here and waste time. Last week on the program... Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, last week, you know, we were going to start with one thing this week, but we glanced over something last week.
What's that?
Well, we glanced over the first attack I had.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
Bran Castle.
What happened?
I was walking through one of the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Just... normally walking through like everybody else,
right.
And all of a sudden, all of the air went out of the room, and I felt two thumbs pressing in on my windpipe.
Really?
Yes.
Now, you swear you felt physically two thumbs on your windpipe.
Yes, yes. And as soon as it was over, I just mentioned it. Whoever was in the room, I mentioned exactly what happened. And
why would you just mention that though? Why wouldn't you be like, oh my god, something choked me? I mean, why would you so cavalier about
it? You remember the part where I've been having experiences since I was four?
Yeah, but being choked is a big deal.
Okay, well, yeah, it was a big deal, but it was over so quickly. I mean, it was just a few seconds. It was just a few seconds.
Really?
Yeah, and. I mentioned what happened, and then Shelby Record comes rushing across the room at me, and she said, oh my God, I was just telling this guy over here exactly the same thing. That same thing just happened to me.
All right. So that's a precursor to what's going to happen later as we go through our journey here.
I'm thinking so.
So last week, we stopped just short of Poenari. And just as a very, very quick recap here, Poenari is the real Dracula's castle. There are places in Transylvania that are sort of marketed as Dracula's castle, but if you want to go to the one where he really lived, it is mainly in ruins, yet still quite intact. In fact, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you will see a photograph I just posted of Polinari. There's no period after the P in joshuapwarren.com. You will see the castle looming up there, and there are some impaled mannequins, which we were kind of surprised to find when we got there. And also, the view from Polinari is this epic, sweeping view through this incredible canyon. Anyway, one thing that I mentioned last week was that if you are in this area around Asheville and you've been to a place called Chimney Rock, you stand in the middle of Chimney Rock in the main street, and you look up and you see the rock way up there. That's kind of what Polinari looks like when you arrive, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm about to have to walk all the way up there. It's 1,480 steps. So they say. I'm thinking it might be more, actually.
Oh, and you feel every one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, you get your gear packed. There were dark storm clouds rolling in.
Yes.
And the idea is just pace yourself. Even though we did have a little competition going on for who made it up there first. And some people just sprinted to the top. You know, like the fittest among us was Kim.
We knew Kim was going to make it first.
Yeah.
She deserved it. She did it.
And she's got a goodie pack on the way.
Good.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Oh,
it was hard.
Well, you know, I've got high definition video footage of you, Shelley. And
I was not a picture of loveliness and freshness.
Yeah. You're dragging up there. You're red faced. You're covered in sweat. And I was like, Shelley, what do you think? And you're like, oh, this is great. I'm loving this. But you know what?
I was miserable.
I was there to videotape you. See, that's what happens when you hang out with Zach Bagans. See, look at these guns. See, I've been letting myself go, Forrest. I know. This is a Zach Bagan gun right there, right? I left my tight T-shirt at home, so give me a little slack.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you know, were you out there just calling everything out left and right?
I know you're here.
Yeah, Dracula.
Come on out. Come on out. I ain't afraid of you.
Yeah, you're going down, Dracula. It would be funny to watch Zach Bagans take on Dracula, man. We have to make that into some kind of motion picture.
I really want to see him go up all those steps.
Yeah. Zach, he would sprint up faster than Kim, probably. That's one thing I will tell you. Zach Bagans, I know how big and fit he looks on camera. No special effects there. That dude... He looks like, if at Halloween time, if I went to a costume shop and I bought one of these muscle suits and put it on, that's how he really looks. And you ask him, like, what do you do to work out? He's like, I don't work out that much, man. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Sure. So anyway, we start this long zigzagging trek up the steep slope of this mountain. And again, there are these looming, ominous clouds sort of rolling in the whole time. And finally, you get to the top, and there is this little wooden bridge that you walk across this chasm, across this abyss, you know. And at that point is when the wind hits you. And the wind is blowing you so... I mean, it feels great because you're just so hot and you're covered in sweat. But anything that could blow away, you better hold on to it. And you cross that bridge. Once you cross that bridge, my friend, it reminds me of the Sleepy Hollow thing. You come out, and here you are in the middle of these unbelievable ruins with this epic view. It's like something out of Lord of the Rings. That's how I think of it. You look and you see these mountains sort of descending down into these vast canyons, and there are all these little bridges in the distance that are connecting the ranges and the cliffs, and you can just imagine what it would have looked like hundreds of years ago. So, when we got there, I immediately start taking measurements, and something very special and dark happened in this castle. Believe it or not, we're already coming up on a break. When we come back from this break, I will tell you what happened in this castle and then what we found when we got to the real Dracula's castle in the real Transylvania. It's called Polinari. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange...
point of no turning back. Flight of fancy, on a wind swept field. Coming to these arms again.
We've only made it to number two, and you don't know. Women love this song. It's called Love Song for a Vampire by Annie Lennox. I thought you would pick up on this, like, boom, like instantly.
Why? Because you think I'm a chick that digs love songs?
Once I tell you why, then you'll understand why.
Okay, tell me why.
Sparkle with excitement. You'll sparkle with excitement.
This is from one of the Twilight movies?
No, he's misleading you. You give up? You already owe me a steak dinner. Is that how easy this was?
Yeah.
The answer is the same answer as before.
Well, I was thinking so.
It's from the same movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
I just didn't really watch the movie. It's not my favorite Dracula movie.
But the film starts with Vlad being represented, and it's the only Dracula movie I've ever seen that represents Vlad Tepish. Right, Forrest?
Wait a minute. I saw something else that had the same dude as the same guy. Yeah.
What?
There was something else. Yeah, there was another movie that this guy was in playing Vlad Tepish.
What, Gary Oldman?
No. No,
it was
another guy. Oh, what is his name?
I'm confused now.
Well, you're always
that
confused.
That guy that was in that one movie that starred that other guy?
All right, well, that is also from Bram Stoker's Dracula.
The Gary Oldman Bram Stoker's Dracula movie is not one of my favorites. It's not one that I watch.
Okay.
So.
All right. In that case, you failed the challenge.
No. It's not that I failed the challenge.
So, yeah, are we up to two steaks now? Is that what's happened here somehow?
Yeah.
Somehow there's two steak dinners that you owe.
I refuse to.
All right. For everyone she gets wrong,
I
like this,
and for everyone she gets right, it's one steak dinner she doesn't have to pay for.
Well, how about I get something other than not having to buy him a steak dinner?
There are people listening to this right now, Sam.
Well, if you get on the other side where you don't have to get him steak dinner, you will get something. What do you want if you get these right?
Let me think about it.
Okay, look.
I got to think big.
Let's think about the audience here. The audience wants to know what happened when we got to Poenari. Now, if you had watched Bram Stoker's Dracula, you would remember that in the beginning of the movie, his wife or mistress, however she was being portrayed, committed suicide. She jumped to her death, right, Forrest?
She did.
And
in the movie, it said that she did that because she got a note falsely claiming that he had been killed and she couldn't bear to live without him. There is some fact in that, however. The factual story is that his mistress, named, I think, Alona or something like that, she was there when the castle was being invaded by the Ottoman Turks, and rather than be captured, she jumped to her death. She committed suicide. So, who knows if that's true, but that's the story. So here I am walking around these ruins, and I had two or three devices measuring a wide range of electromagnetic frequencies, and everything was nice and quiet. And I mean, these are secluded ruins. There's no reason we should be picking up anything weird. And then I went into this one corner of the castle. In fact, if you are looking at the picture at joshuapwarren.com, it's the nook over in the far right-hand corner. I walked over there, and my equipment just went bonkers. There were these transient electromagnetic fields just moving all over the place. And I'm thinking that if she jumped to her death, maybe that's where she did it, because this is something that was especially terrible for Vlad himself. Vlad was able to escape. I think he might have used one of his tricks, like putting horseshoes on the horse backwards so they wouldn't know what direction he was going. But he was guilt-ridden the rest of his life that he'd not been there to protect this woman that he loved. So as we were there, of course, we were only there for at the most like an hour, because it was getting kind of stormy and nasty, and we quickly had to leave and make our way back down. And I don't know about you, Shelley, but a lot of cool stuff happened on this trip. But for me, after doing that, I felt like I'd achieved the goal. You know, it's like I've been to the real Dracula's castle. How did you feel after leaving that place, knowing you'd crested that mountain and visited those ruins?
Tired, sweaty, but I felt wonderful. I was glad I did it. It was absolutely beautiful. I am so glad I was there. You know, going up it, starting up, I felt like there was this ominous wind.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you feel it? It was icy cold.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, we come back down. Excuse me. We had a nice meal after that. Cold glass of Ursus beer. Celebratory. We got on the bus, and we drove to this town called Sibiu, and we went into this really nice hotel. And, you know, last week we were talking about some of the funny little things about Europe, and Lard and I went into our room in this very sort of modern art-type themed hotel, and Lauren could not figure out why the air conditioning wouldn't work. It was very frustrating. She discovered the air conditioning would not work if the windows were open. There was a sensor there. You had to close the windows for the air conditioning to work in the room. Again, one of these things to conserve energy. There's a lot of that in Europe, but especially Romania. But that night was also the night when we had European absinthe. Did you partake in that?
European absinthe?
Yeah, did you miss that?
Yeah, how did I miss that?
I don't know.
You didn't send me the memo.
We had a big party that night in the bar. were you were there, right? Who knows?
Oh, yes. I was in. Oh, yes.
I bought a big round of absinthe for everybody.
Okay, yeah, you didn't buy me any absinthe.
Well, absinthe, I don't want to get into a whole big absinthe conversation here, but absinthe, you know, it tastes like licorice, high alcohol content, and it has this thing called wormwood in it. And let me tell you, the European absinthe, I felt a little screwy the next day after a couple shots of that. You drink it through a straw. And I've never had a shot of anything liquor-oriented through a straw. So people were videotaping me do my first absinthe shot.
I saw that.
And I sucked it, and it went immediately down the wrong hole. So wherever the footage is out there, you'll see me like...
Spit it back out.
Yeah, I couldn't breathe.
Like,
and so
spit it out?
It looks like I'm a little wuss who couldn't take a shot, but in reality, who takes a shot through a straw? Have you ever heard of that, Forrest?
No.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, so yeah, I suck it down the wrong hole, and I'm choking a little bit. But you didn't do it that night?
No. Okay, you owe me... No, never mind, because I don't like absinthe. Yeah. Absinthe is evil.
So the following day, we went to this town called Sibiu. And that was the town, Shelley, where there was a big square, and they had the pillar of infamy in the middle, the metal cage where they would hook you up there and put you in irons and throw things at you. There was a chopping block there where they'd chop your head off. So we're going around Sibiu, and... you and I and some of our friends decided to do a little antiquing that day. And I don't think you know this, Shelley, but I bought something that day. And you were there when I bought it. I have it with me. I have found out that one of the things that I bought that day has a very special property.
Really?
Yes. We're going to take a break here in a minute, but... You see what I'm holding in my hand here? Don't say what it is on the air.
I see.
Do you remember when I bought these in this antique store?
Yes.
Right in Sibiu?
Yes.
Right there in the middle of Transylvania?
Yes.
When we come back, I will tell everybody what I'm holding in my hand and what I discovered these will do. It's very, very cool. We're talking about our trip to Transylvania. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company. Thanks for spending your evening with us tonight. And, wait till you hear what I have here in the studio that I bought in Transylvania. The show is called Speaking of Strange. Don't touch that dial.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here.
Steak dinners, but surely you remember what this is. We talked about this last week.
It's very familiar. Okay. I know. Okay. Bela Lugosi? Dracula?
Yeah!
Yes!
All right. You recalled something that we told you last week. It's amazing.
Take me.
It's the 1931 Universal Studios. Bela Lugosi Dracula. Very good. Too bad you already have to buy us steak dinners or you'd be on a roll right now.
And what are you going to give me?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I don't like your games.
See, if you'd won, then we would have bought you a steak dinner.
Your games are stupid.
And possibly even a stripper. But we will get to that later in the show. There is a stripper component to this story. See, you go on trips with us, it's fun.
Yes.
So, before the break, we were talking about being in Sibiu. And Sibiu, very cool place. As I mentioned, you got the Pillar of Infamy chopping block. It looks like this little... basically, you know how you go to, like, Epcot or something, and they recreate... Actually, you've never been to Epcot, right?
No.
You go to, like, places like that, and they recreate these little cookie-cutter-looking European-style houses that are multicolored. I mean, this is what it looks like there. It looks like you're in a theme park, but it's the real thing. So, in fact, there's a place called the Liar's Bridge. Liar's Bridge is a neat little bridge that goes over a roadway, and the legend is if you stand on it and you tell a lie, it collapses. So they make jokes about, you know, politicians refuse to speak on it. There is an old restaurant that we went to that was popular in the Middle Ages called the Golden Barrel there. Kind of creepy, you know. We walked in, and it's hard to describe some of these Romanian restaurants. You go in, it's very quiet. Everything's all formal. It's just a room with a table, and just a dude comes out and serves you. And it's very... How do you describe it? What are you writing down over there? You're taking some notes.
Oh, the name of the restaurant. I can't remember the name of the restaurant. I remember the restaurant.
Golden Barrel. Anyway, did you also notice that the real gypsies, they look different than the population? Most of the people in Romania are very slim. Most of the gypsies, very well fed. Did you notice this, Shelley?
I noticed this.
Very well fed. If you follow my Twitter, follow my tweets, I tweeted a picture of me with a real gypsy. Very well-fed lady. Anyway, we went into an antique store, and I'm all about some antiquing. I like bars and antique stores. That's why I should create the ultimate tour. Anyway, bars and antiques. So we all bought knickknacks, but in this town, I bought this. I'm holding in my hand a set of goggles. And at first, they look like some old aviator goggles, don't they?
Yes, it looks like you have gone steampunk.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can tell these are old. They have real leather here, very, very worn. I mean, these things have been used and maybe wrecked and crunched.
Yeah, it looks about like that guy was maybe smashed about the head. Look at
that.
Yeah.
It's got metal, probably like aluminum or something, frames with leather all around them. There's a head strap and this amber glass for lenses. And I bought them just because I like buying things that are dynamic. I mean, you can look through these. So, I got them home, and I put them on. I'm putting them on right now. I have headphones on. Actually, I'm going to take my headphones off. So, I put these things on, and look, Shelley, they look a little too wide. You look a little bug-eyed, right?
You do?
Yeah, so they probably went around a helmet or something like that. So I put these things on, and I was like, oh, these are neat. And then I put them in my bag. I got home to Western North Carolina. Nice sunny day. I put these things on. I went outside, and I was like, whoa. I can see things that I can't see with my naked eyes wearing these Transylvanian goggles. I don't know if there's like an infrared component going on here or what, but I'm picking up all these crazy details and stuff. I went back into my house, and I say, hey, look, Lauren, oh, I'm a supervillain, you know. And then I pulled my pants down. Well, anyway, that's a different story. And so then I realized something. I realized I can see the aura sometimes naturally. With these things on, boom, I can see the aura so much more vividly. I think I can see ghostly stuff better. I mean, these are magical Transylvania goggles. You got to squeeze them together a little bit because they are so wide set, and they're a little bit foggy. But when you squeeze them together and you look around, it's not nearly as effective in artificial lighting as it is when you're in natural lighting. But I have like some magical Transylvanian goggles here, and I can see supernatural things when I put these on. It's like your aura is all over the place, but there's a big spike. Okay, look, guys, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the part in hour number two here when Shelley was attacked. Now, you might think, oh, okay, yeah, it was Shelley. She was choked, whatever. No, we have pictures. We have audio clips. We're going to play the audio clips for you. Go to joshuapwarren.com. You'll see the pictures. You don't want to miss this. We're talking about our real expedition to Transylvania. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange.